In the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we this day wish to bring unto you our humble thanks for the many things that you have done on our behalf. Above all, we thank you, dear Father, for this gift of faith that we can own. And as we heard in our song, we can be called the children of God. Dear Father, we pray that you would remember those who are experiencing trials and sorrows of life, those who are experiencing issues of health and sickness. Remember also those who are in nursing homes, those who are bound at home. And remember also those who were not able to be here this evening, but are listening elsewhere. Dear Father, we pray that you would also remember those who are struggling with their minds. Remember also those who are in faraway places, in lonely places of watching, those who are serving our country in faraway places. Remember all of us, dear Father, in our personal endeavor of faith. As we gather before your holy and undying word this evening, dear Father, we pray that you would give unto your servant the words that we need for this day so that we may become strengthened and uplifted in faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This evening, we will read God's Word as it is recorded in the book of Acts in its second chapter, beginning from verse 36 to verse 44, and we hear these words in Jesus' name with that prayer that God will open the word to all of us. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles and brethren, or said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, that many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common. Amen. So as I was at home today and attempting to find a text for this evening, of course I took the Bible and began to go through the pages, and as you know, the Bible is a very thick book, and there are so many places that we can speak from at any given time. And I thought that even though it is man who is going through the pages and trying to find a place to speak from, that we still trust that it is God that chooses what we need for this day. And it could be for the benefit of all of us, and it could be that it is especially chosen for one certain person, whether it is you that are sitting here and listening, somebody who is listening elsewhere, or maybe it is for me. We don't know. But so as you know, each Sunday in our church calendar is labeled with a theme for every week, and sometimes a few days within the week as well. And to those themes, they have chosen fitting scripture portions that speaks to that theme. And it is beneficial, at least for me, to have that as a starting point, if you will, to begin searching for a text with the theme and the Bible portions that are set aside to that theme. Although, as Rod mentioned this morning, that his text was not a text that is set aside for this Sunday, and and neither is this text. But it is still with that prayer of faith unto Heavenly Father that regardless of the text that we choose, that God will still feed us and giving us that portion and strengthening us that he sees fit. So this portion that we read this evening It speaks of one person mainly that is named in this text, and that is Peter. And I thought I would go back just a little bit into when we think of Peter. This is that same Peter that we can find in the fourth chapter of Matthew. And before we get to that portion, when I was looking at this, I thought it was somewhat interesting to note that after John the Baptist had baptized Jesus, right after the baptism had taken place, at the very end of that, it says that a voice from heaven was heard, and the voice said that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That was the sound of God that spoke. And as soon as that was done, Matthew here explains that then Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And then it speaks of the first temptation that Jesus was tempted by the devil. And Jesus responded to him with the word of God, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And this is what Peter was speaking in the text that we read. He was speaking the word of God. Even though it was Peter that spoke, it was God that was speaking through man. And then in Matthew, the second temptation was also spoken of, how the devil took Jesus and put him on a pinnacle of a temple and asked Jesus that you should cast yourself down and Jesus then again answered with the word of God. The devil told Jesus that cast yourself down, for it is written that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. In other words, the devil was telling Jesus that why don't you jump down from here, from this pinnacle, and the angels will catch you. And Jesus then responded or answered him that thou shalt not tempt Lord thy God. And then it speaks of the third temptation, and so it's a little bit of a somewhat lengthy a portion. So then I started looking at that, where else in the Bible does it speak of when Jesus was led into the wilderness? And in the next book, in the book of Mark, it's written in only two verses. And this is what it says after Jesus had been baptized. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was there with wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. That's all that Mark writes of those temptations. So I thought that was interesting to note how even though it is written differently, even though the happening was the same, some are shorter, some are longer, some happenings are written just a little bit differently than the others, depending on who it was that saw, from what viewpoint and so forth. But after this temptations, or these temptations, when Jesus returned from the wilderness as a victor of all those temptations that the devil set before him, he began his ministry, his public ministry, which lasted about 3 years. And Jesus began his public ministry by saying that, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." That was his opening message and the center of his message throughout his public ministry. That was the very, very heart of the matter to everyone, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So right after this, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two people there out in the sea. These two people were Peter and Andrew. This is the same Peter that was keeping this sermon in our text. Apostle Peter is a very familiar person, perhaps to all of us. We have heard about him quite often, and he was a very, very ordinary man. He didn't have lots of schooling in this matter, or any schooling. He was just a fisherman. That's what he did. He was out there fishing that one day. That's what he did for work. Normal work day. He went to his boat with his brother Andrew, and he went there to fish. And he had no idea what was going to happen that day. That was the day when the public ministry of Jesus began. And Jesus came to that shore, and the Son of God called him. And Jesus said to Peter and to Andrew, "To follow me, I will make you fishers of men." So Peter and Andrew, they began to follow Jesus. And from this day forward, we could say that their lives would never be the same, because now Jesus had come into the picture. We could also look at it in this way, that it would never be the same because they were called into the kingdom of God. They had received the greatest gift, the gift that you, brothers and sisters, that we own through faith, just as we heard in our opening song, the name of a child of God. So they received a call from God to come to the kingdom of God. So now the life of Peter and Andrew, if it had a purpose before, that purpose was now gone, and now the true purpose, a true purpose in their life was formed. Now their main purpose was just as it is for us believers today. What is our main purpose? Sometimes it seems that maybe our main purpose is to fight and warfare against the enemy of souls. Maybe we can put this purpose in different words, but one thing they have all in common is that the purpose of life is to endure to the very last day of our lives in God's kingdom and to remain a believer and receive that reward that has set aside, that Jesus has set aside for you personally. You have a crown waiting in heaven. It's there waiting for you. And you will receive that at the very last day when you endeavor in faith, battle against the enemy of souls, put your sins away when they attached, and so forth. So I don't think that our purpose of our life, it is no different than it was for Andrew and Peter and for the many former saints from the Old Testament time and also in the New Testament time. The purpose is the same. And the reason why our purpose and our goal is the same is because we have the same Spirit. The Spirit that guided Peter is the Spirit that guides us. The enemy of Peter is the same enemy that is an enemy to you. Those are the two constants. They vary in ways, but the source is the same. Same enemy. So Peter began to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And for a while, he was able to walk side by side with Jesus. He was able to talk to him, was able to hear him and touch him, and he was able to see the many, many miracles that Jesus did. And even though he was there in person, to see all those things and to hear God speak and to see God with his very own eyes, the Son of God. Peter's faith was not always so strong that it never faltered or failed. Because the Bible records that it did. But it is comforting to read the accounts of these former saints who are now resting in the bosom of Abraham, how they were not perfect. They were imperfect children of God. But yet they left this precious testimony, not only in our point of view, but God says in the Bible that they were successful. They were successful because they relied on the grace and mercy of God, the Son of God, and the Spirit of God. Now, we know of Peter that he was, we could say that he was passionate. He was, maybe we can say that he was quite fiery in his personality, and spontaneous in some ways. He was reactive. He was quick to speak and quick to act. You remember when he saw Jesus, when Peter was in the boat, the first thing he wanted to do is he wanted to walk toward Jesus. He wanted to go where Jesus was. And he stepped out of the boat and stepped in the water, and he was walking on water. But as we can read, his faith began to waver, began to have doubts, and he began to sink. And in a childlike manner, he stretched forward his arm toward Jesus to save him. He realized that he couldn't do this by himself. And also when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter was there right next to Jesus. He was there side by side. And the Roman soldiers came there to arrest Jesus. And Peter took his sword, and then he cut off the ear of a soldier. He wanted to protect Jesus. And Jesus rebuked him. A little bit later, that same day, Jesus told him that you will soon deny me. Not one time, not two times, but three times. And Peter told Jesus that I will never do such a thing. In fact, if you go into the prison, I will come to the prison with you. If you die, I will die with you. He promised Jesus. And just a few short hours later, Peter denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. And maybe you have seen the picture when Jesus is led into the council, into a building, and he's got soldiers on both sides guarding him, walking in, and he is looking at Peter. And when Peter saw that, he began to cry. Not sniffle, he began to cry bitterly. And Peter then realized what Jesus had told him. And Peter realized that, yes, I am a sinner. Exactly what Jesus said would happen did happen. So Jesus later, or Peter then repented, and he was one of those that were waiting for that comforter that Jesus promised that would be sent onto those people that were waiting in the room after Jesus had died, resurrected from the dead, and ascended into heaven. They were waiting, and the Spirit of God ascended into those people that were in that room. And they then went out and spoke of Jesus. And the theme for this Sunday is Jesus Awakens Faith. I think we can choose many Bible portions to find a suitable portion for those that Jesus had awakened from the darkness of unbelief. And in Bible class, we are speaking currently of Apostle Paul. Jesus awakened his faith as well. Same thing with Cornelius and his whole household. Also, we can see this, how Jesus awakens faith in our world today, in the different nations throughout the world. We can hear how so many people are ushered into God's kingdom through our Lord of life, Jesus Christ himself. So this is also what Peter did. He had a fairly long sermon on Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, and just a few moments after they had this Holy Spirit was sent onto them into that room. Then they went out to preach of Jesus. And they begin to speak to those people that were in darkness of unbelief. And he says that, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." So many of them had heard and seen Jesus speak and do miracles. And then Peter continues his sermon, and he says that, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." So I don't know exactly how many were listening to Peter's sermon at this time, but it was in the thousands. And many of those that were listening, they were a part of crucifying Jesus. And when they heard Peter's sermon, this text says that they were pricked in their heart. And they asked, or they said to Peter and the others, that what do we need to do? So here we could see it in this way, that as we have often sometimes heard, that Jesus is knocking on the door to come into every man's heart. And this is exactly what is taking place here. And they felt that God is speaking to me. Thousands of people felt that very same feeling at that time, that God is speaking to me. I need to do something with the sins that are on my conscience. So they asked, what do we need to do? So Peter then answered them and said that you need to repent. In our day, we know what repenting, or how we would describe when someone repents. The Word of God has been described as a two-edged sword. It has the law and it has the gospel. The first side, the law, was preached into the darkness of unbelief. And that law revealed their sin-fallen and sinful condition, their condition of unbelief. That the way you are traveling right now, it will not lead you to heaven. That was revealed unto them. And they answered that, what do we need to do? And then the other side of the sword is the gospel. That you need to have your sins forgiven. You need to realize that there is nothing good in you. You cannot do the work of yourself and have that kind of merit in those works that will get you to heaven. You need the Lord of life in your life. And you need the Spirit of God to teach you. So Peter said unto them that you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So, what is this promise that God promised? Not unto them, not just unto them, but also unto their children, and all that are even afar off, and everyone that God will call. Just like that call that Jesus called Peter and Andrew and the many others, the promise is the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost, just as our text here says. The promise is that God will no longer remember your sins, just as our brother spoke of earlier today. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. So 3,000 people repented that day. Not only did they promise to believe that day, but our text continues that they continued to believe in that way. And then they receive this, I would think of it in this way, this healthy fear of God. Not this kind of a fear that they would be afraid to speak to God about their failings and their falls and stumblings. And how is it that we speak to God today? Isn't it in this way that we speak to someone who has the Spirit of God within them? It could be our spouse, our children, our mothers, our fathers, our relatives, our siblings, our friends. But that we would have this fear, this healthy fear of God when we have fallen into sin, that we need to put that sin away. And in the last verse of our text, it says that all that believed, they were together and they had all things common. So all of a sudden they had things that were in common, they had something in common. When everything else had been stripped away, their personal goals, their personal fears or concerns or difficulties, all of a sudden they had this in common, that I want to reach the shores of heaven. I don't want to die in unbelief. I want my sins forgiven. When everything else that is of no matter when we face God, this is the only concern that creates us doubts, maybe even fears, that am I believing? But dear brother and dear sister, the Bible testifies that when you endeavor to believe, when you want to put your sins away and believe them forgiven, you are heaven acceptable. So this evening, uplift your hearts and believe that gospel which comes all the way from heaven, that all your sins and doubts, they are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, and God remembers them no more. And we also heard through our dear brother this morning how he said something to the effect that if we would, or he encouraged us to speak to our friends and our elders and ask about the journey of faith. And I can't remember exactly the question that he had, but it was something to the effect of that. How is your life of faith? And I took it in this way, that have you been successful? And I think the answer that we would get is that from them is that, no, I haven't been successful. In fact, I have been a very poor child of God. But yet, they are heaven acceptable because they endeavor to believe. And I think if we would, when we get to heaven and we would ask Peter that very same question, even though he is many, many times he is mentioned by name in the Bible, And the Bible gives a testimony that he was at the very end, to the very end, he was a child of God. That if we would ask Peter, that how was your life of faith? Were you successful? He would say that, no, I was not successful. Just like Apostle Paul said of himself, that he was not successful, but yet he was a child of God. And so are you. You are a child of God. I also want to hear that same gospel that you rely and believe. Can I believe my many doubts and sins forgiven? In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.